introduction to where my thoughts are coming from this evening. In the last number of, several months, I've read several books, partly born out of a feeling or a need in my life. The one book was, the title of it was The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. I don't know if any of you have read that book, but it's a good book to read. The second book was titled Margin, and it just simply talked about how that in our lives, sometimes we get so busy to the point where we have so little margin, we have so little time for others and for relationships. And then I also have another book that was titled Sabbath, and it's just thinking of finding time to refresh our souls. So in Genesis 2, this is a chapter following when God, we have the creation there. And God, in 6 days, created everything that we know and we see, and probably more. I think there were a lot of things that were destroyed in the flood that we don't have today. But the things that we know and see, God created, brought into existence by his spoken word. And then in chapter 2, verses 1 and through 3, it says there, Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had made. Now if we went on further forward to Exodus 20, is the cordless mic working then? Okay. I just want to check, because after a bit here I'm going to be doing some things on the board, and I just want to make sure that that was working. But in Exodus 20, we have where God gives the law to Moses and the Ten Commandments, what we know as the Ten Commandments. And he gave the Israelites instruction that they should remember the Sabbath. And that's the title of the message tonight is Remember the Sabbath. You know, I used to think that Sabbath has something to do with seven, but it doesn't. The word Sabbath means intermission, a break. Now there we see where God says there in the seventh day that he said that he took an intermission, a rest, a break from the things that he was doing. Now did God need that break? I don't think he did. God didn't need that break. But I think he understood that this was a principle, a creation principle that we today need in our humanity. We need this intermission, this break. You know, Jesus told the Jews that the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now, they had taken that this law or this principle that God had instituted, they had taken this principle and they had missed the meaning that God was trying to give. Now, I don't profess tonight to understand. Okay. Kind of lost my train of thought there. But God, this break that God was speaking about, this intermission, I guess my question came, what was this break or what was this intermission that God was after? Now, if we would turn to Leviticus 25, we can see that this Sabbath that God instituted was not only one in 7 days, but there is a whole system of Sabbaths. So we have, if we have the Sabbath that we normally think of, which is 1 in 7 days, 1 in 7, days, which would be this, which would be our week. But then if you look at Leviticus 25, you also have 1 in 7 years. You have the seventh year, can someone tell me what was supposed to happen on the seventh year? Not quite yet. For the land. The land was supposed to lay fallow. So there were no crops planted. Now somebody already alluded to the next one. The year of Jubilee. Now how was that calculated, or what was the year of Jubilee?
It was the year that they gave their debt, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, that was what was happening.
Seven
Sabbaths. Or the Bible says 7 weeks of years. So 7 weeks of years, 7 times 7, would be 49 years. So the 50th year, so we have 49 years, and then the 50th year was the year of Jubilee, when all debts were canceled, all slaves set free, any lands that had been sold were given back to the original owner. That's what was happening on the 50th year, the year of Jubilee. Now, it's also interesting that if you take the math there, that the amount of 1 in 7 days, the Sabbath day, is 2,555 Sabbaths, which is also, if you take that and divide it by 365 days, is also 7 years. So we have 7 years of Sabbaths as well. So this system of Sabbaths that God gave the Israelites, and most times we think of the seventh day or the Sabbath day, but there was a whole system of Sabbaths that God gave the Israelites. What was he trying to teach them? And what are some things that we can look at today and learn from those Sabbaths, or that system of Sabbaths? So when we think of the Sabbath day, and we've already talked about that, that they were to take a break from their earthly labors. There was not supposed to be any work done, no labor performed. And the Jews took that to an extreme. But I think God was trying to show them that in our humanity, we need to take a break from our earthly labors. We need a break from our earthly pursuits and labors. In Isaiah 58, it talks about how that it says if you will remove your foot from the Sabbath, and if you will take delight in the Sabbath day, and not do your own pleasure, but do my will, then it says, and God pronounces a blessing on the Israelites there. So physically, I think in Exodus as well, it talks about how that you will be refreshed and from your labors. So physically, we need that rest. We need that 1 day in 7. But also more than that is also a reminder that life is more than just work. Life is about more than working. It's also about spiritual pursuits and about God. It's about taking time for that relationship with Him. On the seventh year, they were to allow the land to lie fallow. And as I looked at that, how many of you If we think about trying to provide for a family, and the seventh year, not plant, to me that speaks of an exercise in trust, trusting God. God told them, he says, if you do it, he said, the sixth year will produce enough seed, enough crops for 3 years. It's an exercise in trust. God said, if you trust me enough to do this, I'm going to take care of you. And then the 50th year, all debts were canceled, slaves set free, lands went back to their original owners. It was a kind of economic reset where everything was a fresh start. The debts were canceled. In Leviticus 25, the chapter that I referred to, it gave a specific instruction that if someone came to you, to them, and were in need and asked to borrow money, and it was getting close to the time of the year of Jubilee, that they were not supposed to take that into consideration. They were supposed to lend regardless of that. And I guess when I look at that, I'm like, you know, it speaks of a life of generosity, a life of unselfishness, of selfless living, of giving, regardless of whether I get it back or not. And so as I think about this economy that God set up for the Israelites, what drives our American economy? What drives it? I'm open. I'm here listening.
Money.
Desire for more. Possessions. Consumerism would be another word we might use. You know, all the advertisements are geared towards, you know, making us want to get this or try that or be dissatisfied with what we have. You know, how many times do we as God's people get caught up in our society's thinking that success is measured by wealth? Or how wealthy we become? How do we measure success? You know, when we look at someone's, what is the measure of success, or should our measure of success be? Is it wealth? No. You know, we know that, but sometimes we kind of still kind of buy into that thinking a little bit. You know, Jesus said in Luke 12:15 that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's not how God measures success. Amos 8:4-6 are a couple of verses that have challenged me already. It says, hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over? And the new moon was simply a feast or a holiday where it was treated as a Sabbath. They weren't necessarily working. And the question these people are asking says, when will this be over? That we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may offer wheat for sale, that we may make the ephah small and the shekel great and deal deceitfully with false balances, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals and sell the chaff of the wheat. These people in Amos' day couldn't wait for the Sabbath to be over so that they could continue on buying and selling and accumulating. And, you know, we could look at also the context here where they were doing it at the expense of someone else. We could look at that as well. But the part that just stood out to me was like their drive, their ambition, and they said, when will this be over so we can continue on doing business? During World War II, Britain was trying to figure out a way to keep track of their resources and the amount that they could give to the war effort, they could direct towards the war effort. So their economists came up with a way to track and to record resources and to combine
to record and combine the value of all the goods that were bought and sold in a year's time. So they would try and quantify, you know, what all do we have? What all can we use, send towards the war effort? What all do we need to keep for our people? And so they came up with this system of recording and combining all the value of all the products and goods manufactured and sold within the country in a year's time. Now, I've heard this term, and it was just kind of an interesting source of information for me, that they were the ones that came up with the term gross domestic product. You've probably heard of that term. The GDP, the gross domestic product of a nation. And eventually, the United Nations adopted this metric, this way of quantifying the wealth of a country. And so as long as your gross domestic product is growing in a country, it signals that there's a healthy, robust economy. Once that starts shrinking, you realize that the nation is on a downhill trend. You know, and as I thought about this, using this metric for determining the health of an economy or the health of a country, this is only a partial measurement of the health of a people. This is only the economic measurement of the health of a people. And it tends to put value on people based on their monetary contribution to the country. Why is it that we here in America, where we have so much wealth, also have so much pain and so many broken homes and suicide rates are climbing? Why is that? We have wealth. We have possessions. We have things. I think it's because while this is one metric of measuring, it is not the correct metric. Is it because our preoccupation with wealth has come at the expense of other things? Relationships with families. And I think it has. I think that's part of the reason that we see broken homes. Some of you have experience with foster children. You see that personally. And experience that personally. So the GDP measures the economic output and contribution vehicle. But consider the stay-at-home mom, who we feel is so important in the home. She contributes so much to the stability and function of a home. Yet if we use the gross domestic product as a metric of measurement, then she contributes very little to the country. In a society where accumulation is so important and economic growth is a sought-for metric, then we need an individual to contribute to the economic growth. And what does that translate into? It means that businesses need to stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Factories need to keep churning 24/7. You can't let that factory stop because that's money down that you didn't make. In our country, that is very important. But if we would look at God's system of Sabbath, I think it would tell us something different, wouldn't it? That there is something that's more important than economic growth, than the GDP. What did Jesus say? When he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? What was Jesus' response? What did he say is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, strength, and mind. What was the second one? Love your neighbor. Those things are two, that Jesus said, those two commands are the two most important commands that you can ever focus your energies and your resources on. Relationships. First of all, with God. And then secondly, with those around you. Those are the things that should be most important in your life? What do relationships take? Time. Can you hurry relationships? No. You know, we're most times as business people, we're all about it being efficient. But you can't have efficient relationships. You have to take time for your relationships. And so I believe that one of the reasons that God instituted the Sabbath, or this intermission, this one in seven, was to remind us that life is more, is about more than just business and accumulation. It's about taking a break from our busyness and taking time for relationship with Him and with those around us. It's a reminder that while providing for our family's physical needs, we also need to meet their spiritual needs. The whole system of Sabbaths was a reminder not to oppress, but to live generously and unselfishly. It's not just about me, but also about others. You know, when you look at that, forgiving debts, turning the slaves free, the land goes back to the original owners. It wasn't just about me accumulating for myself, but it was about living generously and unselfishly and for others. You know, Jesus told that story about the man that whose crops did very well, and he tore down his barns, or that was his plan. I don't think he got that far. But he said, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger. And I don't know that that was necessarily the whole problem, that, in fact, we did a job for an apostolic minister about a year ago, and he tore down three barns to build one great big one. And he told me, he said, this parable kind of comes to mind. He said, I'm not sure if I'm quite doing the right thing. Now, his other buildings were kind of reaching the end of their lifespan, so I don't think that was necessarily I don't think that was a problem. But it's still something to remember. And God asked the man this question. He said, whose shall these things be? I think that's something we need to remember, that the things that I have are God's. I'm a steward of them. And I should ask God, how do you want this money spent? I'd like to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'd like to look at some things that God says that are okay to accumulate, are okay to add. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Verse 5 of 2 Peter 1. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And he says, add. This is one thing that God says is okay for you to accumulate. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This list is, like I said, things that God says are okay to add. There's a song, it's song number 653 that we had learned, and there's a phrase in there. The title of that song is Show Me Thy Face. So show me thy face, one transient gleam of loveliness divine, and I shall never think or dream of other love save thine. All lesser light will darken quite. All glories, all lower glories wane. The beautiful of earth will scarce seem beautiful again. And so he just says, his request was there that, show me your face. And he says, all these things, these lower glories, will wane. And I think that's something that I sense a need of in my life, that this quest, this drive for more, be directed more towards God and His glory and His face. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. God, we come to you again. We thank you for the rest that you have provided. We thank you for your reminder that our human tendency is to desire more and to accumulate possessions, but that it's life is more than just that. It's about a relationship with you and about a relationship with others. Lord, we thank you for that reminder. And I just pray that in our humanity, that as we sometimes struggle with priorities and knowing how to handle different things, I just pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment in life to understand what you want us to do. Let's pray that you would continue to guide us and direct us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.